Matthew chapter 24. Today, topic is the urgency of the time. Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to read a parable here that Jesus Christ spoke. Verse 42. You know, many times people in this life are not aware of the urgency of time. And a lot of times that happens when you're younger. You know, we make statements like, maybe not even only when you're younger, but all people make statements like, someday I'm going to get to that. There will someday be a time for that. And I know one of these days I'm just going to do that. And those kind of statements, we've all made them, and I think a lot of times that time never comes. And so in order for that time to come, we have to understand the urgency of time. And there's a lot in God's word on this topic. We're just going to look at a few items today about the urgency of time, and we'll see God's viewpoint on it. Matthew 24:42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now we know this section is not talking about the gathering together. It's talking about the coming, the second coming, the second part of the second coming, if you will, of Jesus Christ. But just the idea, what Jesus Christ says about how they should prepare for that. Verse 43, but know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and he shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, he said, be ye also ready. In verse 46, he said, blessed is the servant, when his Lord cometh, he shall find so doing. So how do you get ready for something that is going to take place? You know, even in that parable, it's not like, okay, what you do is you get ready and look and wait and have him. No, what you do is you be faithful until that thing happens. That's how you're ready for it. It's not like, it, you know, whatever that event is, in this case, it's the second part of the second coming. Could be a week from now, it could be a year from now, it could be 5 years from now, or 1,000 years from now. So how do you be ready for something that is maybe even longer than your lifetime? Right? So what's the urgency? The urgency is you be faithful to what you're supposed to be doing. That it's very simple. He said, be ready. Because when he says he comes and finds that servant, that faithful servant doing what he's supposed to do. That's the urgency of time, is to understand that right now you do what you're supposed to do. We'll keep reading. There's more on this verse in Luke chapter 12. Another parable. There's a few of these that he told his followers in 12:16. You guys are well familiar with this one as well. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? so is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, and because of that section of the parable, he goes, therefore, you know, so this, what he's saying now is in light of this parable that he just told about this man who was more involved in gathering up things for himself. So that's the context, right? Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, or not anxious. We know the section, don't have anxious consideration for your life. What you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? So this is all in light of that parable he just spoke about that man. And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies of the field. Consider lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? All this in light of him saying, talking about this man who spent most of his time making his barns great, we fill plenty. And he said at the end, you know, if his soul was required, he said, well, so he had decided to take easy and be merry and all this. And Jesus said, what happens if your soul is required then? He's going to say, you're a fool for that. You're a fool for spending all your time on those things. And then he gives this whole section about, look at the lilies. They don't worry about all these things. So instead of doing all those things, what is the business we're supposed to be about? Verse 29, and seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations, all the Gentiles. Everybody's looking, everybody's involved in the work and the time and the energy and the thought life of those things. And your Father knows you have need of these things. But you seek ye the kingdom of God. So, to the contrary, spending all of our thought life and time and energy, he says, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell it ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, there's only so, I mean, kind of a summary of that section. You only have so much time in life. You know, in the previous one, he said, okay, you know, how are you ready? He's going to come anytime. How are you ready? He said, be faithful and do what you're doing. Here it says, okay, everybody's involved in these activities of life all the time. You only have so much time in life. God knows you need those things. Sure, you got to do those things. He just said, don't give anxious thought. It doesn't say don't give any thought. In other words, that is not all you're always thinking about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And those things, and then where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Those are the things you're going to talk about, you're going to dream about, you're going to plan for, you're going to live your life in light of. That's what's going to hold sway in your mind day by day. The rest of the stuff, yeah, you got to put some time into it. And God knows you need those things, but don't put your heart there. There's only so much time in life. That's the urgency of time. You only have so much time in your life. Jesus Christ may not come back for 2,000 years. You're not living 2,000. I'm not living 2,000 years. The urgency for me is therefore now. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. This section here is essentially about the walk of the believer and how, as believers, by the way we live our lives and conduct ourselves, we stand out in the world a little bit. You know, a little differently than many, and let's start with verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for his sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. See, this whole section talking about how we conduct our lives because of what Jesus Christ has done. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So we don't sit around talking about what evil does and how it's plotting and all these things. There's no profit to it. We know what happens. Verse 13, but all these things are approved, are made manifest by the light. So what exposes that stuff always is light, the light of God's word. That is what exposes that stuff. For whatsoever doth make manifest, there it is light. Wherefore he saith, wake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time. Talking about the urgency of time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Keep your marker here. We'll go to Romans chapter 8 for a second. So the days are evil. Romans chapter 8. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So that verse says that there are sufferings in this present time. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature or creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. I mean, all of creation is waiting for that glorious day, Romans chapter 8:19, for that glorious day for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 20, for the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, this is not just talking about everybody else, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Look, at least, and I say that in a very, not to diminish it in any way, at least we have the first fruits of the Spirit. All creation is groaning and travailing. It is even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And as we get older, some of us groan more than others. groaning within ourselves. Ephesians said the days are evil. This age is an evil age, and even we're groaning. But while we're here, Ephesians says, well, redeem the time. The urgency of time in the midst of all this. Let's keep going. Look at Romans 12. We'll just flip over to chapter 12 for a second. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. So our minds, we're not supposed to conform our thinking to the thinking of this age. That is not what we're supposed to be doing. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're not supposed to fashion our thinking to the age. We're to recognize the age is evil, that we're groaning and travailing, but we have the first fruits of the Spirit as we await the return of Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to stand out from that by redeeming the time. recognizing the urgency of time of our life. Ephesians chapter 6, we're there now, but let's just go to verse, again, later on, and we're not going to read that far, but verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood and against but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The wiles of the devil, the systematized error you see all around you that is targeted to destroy the believer and the Word of God. That's what you're fighting. That's what we're fighting against regularly. I mean, it's multiple said in multiple different ways, but that is that's what we're in the midst of right now. The urgency for us, the urgency for our lives, is to stand out as those who serve the Lord Jesus Christ, serve God, and speak the truth to make manifest the light of God's Word in this world. Back to, well, we'll just read one more verse. Galatians chapter 1. Along these lines. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, world, according to the will of God and our Father. He delivered us from this present evil age. Has the present evil age gone away? No. He delivered us from it. But we're groaning and travailing together still until the final salvation at the return of Jesus Christ. All of creation is groaning. God says, don't fasten your thinking to this age. Think according to my word, he says. And then he says in Ephesians, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against systematized error from the rulers of darkness in the world, targeted at the word of God, therefore at you. And then back to Ephesians 5. Verse 16 again. So redeeming the time because the days are evil. It is an evil age. So you only have so much time in life, as you read in Matthew. So let me read this verse to you from a few different versions. Weymouth says, buy up your opportunities, for these are evil times. Buy up your opportunities. NASB says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. James Murdoch, but not like the wise who purchase their opportunities because the days are evil. The ESV, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. You know, the whole idea of I'm going to make time for that. I'm going to get there. That's not urgency. That's procrastination. Urgency is recognizing what the Word of God says. The time is now. You know, even Paul wrote, what do you write in Corinthians, right? He said, the time is short. That was written 2,000 years ago. Okay? So even when it says here, you know, about the urgency of time, what does that mean if it was written 2,000 years ago? Where's the urgency? The urgency, as I mentioned, is in my life. It's in your life. I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back, but I do know that I only have so much time in this life. So what's the urgency? The urgency is to me, you in your life. Recognize, how do you live your life? Do you live by trying to go along with the fashions and schemes of the world and thinking of the age? Or do you rise up and out of that with the Word of God, buying up your opportunities, any opportunity you have to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's up to all of us. The time is short. If we knew, you know, I always think of, and I was talking to somebody about Bitcoin last week, okay? Do you know Bitcoin came out, 2013, somewhere around there. It was a dollar or two a share until 2013 or 2014. Currently, it's $43,000 a share. So if you knew today that Bitcoin was going to hit $43,000 a share back in 2015, how many Bitcoins would you have bought? Right? If you know Jesus Christ is coming back, I don't want to be standing before the Lord saying, you know, I wish back in 2022 I had known that I would be standing before the Lord here in XXXXX, whenever that's going to be. I would have done this had, well, I do know that. There's no guarantee Bitcoin was going to go to $43,000 or whatever share, but there is every guarantee that we will be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ someday. So recognize the urgency of the time to us. So what is our responsibility? Is it to change the times? Is it to adapt to the times? No. You know, Jesus Christ said it best when they remember they were on the way to Jerusalem there, and he wasn't in the company, and they said, "Well, we haven't seen him for three days. I can't imagine. They thought he was with the rest of the folks, right?" And they went back, and he said, "I'm sorry, I'm paraphrasing. Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" See, Jesus Christ at that young age knew of the urgency of time for his life. He wasn't trying to hurt his mother and father. That wasn't his intention. He goes, "What a bad child." You know, he didn't even tell. To him, the urgency was to do his father's business. That's what he was about. He said, "Don't you know?" And that's sort of, I like that expression. If you're in a situation where someone says, "Well, why are you doing this?" Well, don't you know that I'm trying to do my father's business? I'd like to be able to answer that question more than 50% of each day. Maybe 30, maybe whatever the percentage is. You see where the urgency of time goes. It's up to me to make the time as urgent to me as God demands, as my personal conscience demands, according to God's word. It's up to me. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy. There's no time to relax and take it easy, like that man said with the barns. "Oh, relax, take thine ease, be easy." There's no time for that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now, there's no question that you have to be involved with the affairs of this life. Isn't that true? Do you have to pay your taxes? Do you have to shovel your stairs? I should have. I didn't this morning. But, you know, you have to do things, right? You have to be involved in society. It's not saying you just kind of go be a hermit and live in the middle of the desert. What it's saying is entangling there. We don't get entangled to the point that that's all we think, that's all we're ever doing. If I'm going to please him who has chosen me to be a soldier, and this is Paul writing to Timothy, then I'm going to make sure that I keep out of the entanglements of the world. Otherwise, it's very difficult to recognize the urgency of time. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remember this verse. You guys know this verse. Where we're here, verse 15. "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." You know this verse. "Rightly dividing the word of truth." What does that word mean? It said, taking into account the brevity of time. Remember that, or the way we recently defined it, remembering to use time wisely. Even in our study of God's Word, recognizing how important time is, the urgency of time. And then in chapter 4 of the same book, 2 Timothy 4, in the demise, you know, the time when the church was on its way kind of down. Verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." The urgency. See the urgency from Paul? Timothy, things aren't great. Here's what you should do. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. When it's convenient. See, that's the whole point. When it's not in season, out of season, when it's not convenient. And that's the urgency of time really hits hard in that point. I assure you that a huge percentage of time doing the Word of God will not be convenient. However you define convenience, and that's up to each person. Does it make you stand out? Does it make you feel bad? Does it make you feel like you're offending somebody? Does it make you whatever? All the various emotions and things that are associated with things not being convenient, that's not the point. The point is the urgency of time for our lives. Let's look at Psalm 90. A few more verses here. Again, there's a lot on this in the Bible, but I thought we'd look at Psalm 90. buy up your opportunities. Psalm 90, verse 9. For all our days are passed away as in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And the psalmist asking God, just teach us how to use our time so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, to walk with you, serve you. Teach us those extra 20 minutes that I might have between, you know, this time and this time of my day, or those extra afternoon that I might have off, or the extra whatever, you know. Teach us how to use that time. Number our days to apply our hearts to know your wisdom. See, only I can read God's word, only you can read God's word and recognize the urgency of the time for your life. We don't know when Jesus Christ comes back. And we read recently about all those people in Hebrews chapter 11. Did they see the promise? No, but they lived their life in light of that very truthful, did it happen? Yeah. In light of that reality, so the urgency is in your life, not in a, you know, some set date or something. That's not what he was talking about. We'll close in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You know, this is written by Solomon, and Proverbs is written by Solomon also. And when he starts with the first Proverbs in chapter 1, he talks about the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God is where everything starts, the beginning of knowledge. That's where it all starts, and it's interesting. That's the same way he concludes Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. So he's saying, you know, when you're young, remember God, remember him. When you're not near your end at that time, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, you know, your teeth start falling out, so to speak. The grinders cease. This is what it's talking about. It's talking about as you get older, right? That's what the whole chapter is talking about. Starting from young, and as you get older. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. The eyes, right? A little bit not so easy to see sometimes. And the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. You see the kind of the end of life he's talking about here. And if you read the rest of Ecclesiastes, there he's struggling very hard in his whole life. And he says there, you can do a lot of different things in your life. And that's the whole point in that whole, all Ecclesiastes is his search for finding that which is important. He tries to find it in labor. He tries to find it in pleasure. He tries to find it in family. He tries to find it, everything he can possibly do, he can try to find it, you know. And that's the whole point. And then he says, okay, now, you know, now that I've gone through all that, and he said, you can, there's no labor, there's no end to labor, and you can do so much. You can spend your time doing so many, it sounds just like, when Jesus Christ was talking about, well, all these things the nation, and Gentiles seek after. Aren't they spending all their time doing that? Well, what should you do? It's interesting how God leads you to the same conclusion from many different angles. Verse 6, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain of the wheel, broken at the cistern. then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Eventually you die. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is emptiness or vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, by my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. And you can spend your time doing so many different things in so many areas of your life and be so overcome and totally miss that our soul, like the one Jesus Christ, it might be required of you this night, the way he put it. I love that. You can do all, you can get involved in so many things and so many things that take your time, entanglements and so forth, all these things, and forget the total urgency. And here he says in verse 13, but let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He starts with the fear of God in Proverbs, ends here in Ecclesiastes with the reverence of God. That is the whole conclusion of the matter. So we don't need to be in our lives worried about the, you know, prosperity of the wicked. That's a common theme, by the way, in the Bible too. Ecclesiastes, well, oh, how come they, and how come them, and how come that, and how come this? Nor do we need to be overly concerned about the unjustness of life. How often do you find yourself saying, oh, that's not right? We just read in Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, that the days are evil. It's an evil age. So an evil age produces evil judgments, evil decisions. It is not right. There is no justice in the world. But here he says that God says he's going to bring everything in front of him eventually. The same thing it says in Romans about us standing before Jesus Christ. So instead of being caught up in all of that and being entangled with all of that, he says, fear God. Keep his commandments. Recognize the urgency of the time to mine in your life. And be about our Father's business, just like Jesus Christ was. Yeah? Amen. God bless.